Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Gen 40 heater. The Gen 40 heaters are back in stock. With skyrocketing heating bills, they sold out and will go fast again. If you missed the last special, order fast and now at EdenPureDeals.com. For this week or until they run out, you can get the stylish and strong Eden Pure Gen 40 heater with code Howie50.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, The Spectator, and The Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Happy Monday to all of you out there. And it's a holiday week. We're very excited to be here and to give you the latest news. We are going to talk about the latest chapter of the Twitter files. I had started the show with Chapter 6. We're already on to Chapter 7. And I thought there were some interesting tidbits in there. Again, special agent from the FBI in San Francisco, Elvis Chan, seems to come into play a lot here. Yoel Roth, the usual suspects, as they say. I did want to give everyone a heads up. I have a column up right now at BostonHerald.com. And I think it's really fun, if I do say so myself. I think you'll enjoy it. What I basically did was I gave Santa Claus some suggestions for public figures, and just a couple of examples here. Janet Yellen, Treasury Secretary, I said it might be nice to get her a grill. She considers that a giant splurge that we all made during COVID. I think it would be nice if we returned the favor. I think she might have been trying to drop hints on Stephen Colbert. So one Weber grill coming right up. Sam Brinton, the non-binary ex-nuclear top official from the Biden administration. This one's kind of obvious. A luggage set. I don't know if maybe the stealing of the luggage sets is just part of the thrill. So maybe there's a way we could set that up where he could actually, or they could actually steal some luggage as part of their Christmas gift. But some nice luggage under the tree, I think, would be a kind gesture. Kamala Harris, again, this one was almost too easy for me. A telescope. The woman had, she starred in a NASA short video with paid child actors where she blabbered on about the moon. She's talked to U.S. troops in South Korea about the Webb telescope. She loves to talk about space. So there's nothing like Christmas morning, a giant telescope with a big red bow on it. That's just knocking it out of the park. That's an easy one for Papa Noel. You know, I'm giving you the best ideas I got. As for the mainstream media, my suggestion was a mirror for all of them, a little self-reflection. Because what I couldn't get over, and I talked about this, you know, in great detail last week about Poppy Harlow commenting on the fact that Matt Taibbi and Barry Weiss were not affiliated with any credible news organizations. And that just took my breath away. Coming from CNN, you know, she's sitting next to her co-host, Don Lemon, who had how many histrionic interviews with Jussie Smollett, one of the greatest hoax pushers of all time? Her network had to pay up big to Nicholas Sandman, at the time a high schooler, whose life they tried to ruin over a bogus witch hunt, over a photograph of him with a MAGA hat on. How many reporters won prizes from CNN for running with the Russia hoax for over 2 years? There isn't a fake news story that Poppy Harlow's network hasn't fallen for hook, line, and sinker. And so to hear her try to disparage Matt Taibbi and Barry Weiss for not being affiliated with any credible news organizations, I would consider that a feather in their cap, Poppy. And what was really funny was then I started going through the transcripts of CNN because I hate to transcribe. Howie does a lot of transcribing. He will listen to clips and write them down. I am not strong enough. My stomach's not strong enough. I can't do it. So I can't listen to a clip three times and write it down. I just have to find the transcript. I have to find the quote. So I went to the CNN transcripts and I realized that a day before, I thought it was a couple days before, a day before Musk starts suspending accounts on Twitter, Don Lemon, Oliver Darcy, Poppy Harlow, Caitlin Collins, they all have this conversation about the Twitter files. And Don Lemon really poo-poos it. He's like, I don't care. You know, I know I'm supposed to care. I just don't care. And then, and I tweeted this out, then he makes the remark about how Twitter is a private company. They can suspend who they want. They can do what they want. Oliver Darcy agrees. He says Jack Dorsey admitted suppressing the New York Post story was a mistake. In other words, why is everyone talking about this? It's meh. It's an M for meh. It's a nothing burger. One day later, their fellow sophisticated, beautiful people, their fellow bloggers, all affiliated with credible news organizations like the Washington Post and Vox. Not Fox, Vox. Once they started getting suspended, one day later, the same crew, the same motley crew gets together and they're like, oh, this is bad. This is bad. This is bad. Censorship is bad. Don Lemon's on there. What does this mean for my mom who's on Twitter? What does this mean for my mom? You know? And they're all really worried. They're all very stressed out about this. It's amazing the lack of self-awareness. And that would really be the gift that keeps on giving, to give them all a mirror. They can wake up every morning and just take a good hard look at themselves. So that was my gift for the mainstream media. Joe Biden's was pretty obvious. Joe Biden's is a couple pints of chocolate chip ice cream. And, you know, is Taylor back there? Because my mom had read my article and she said, you know, Joe Biden actually likes vanilla chocolate chip. But I remember him saying chocolate chip. But maybe he clarifies based off what base he wants. But I said, you know, give him a couple pints of chocolate chip ice cream and then maybe give him a book of real world events, things that have actually happened. Because if you missed it on Friday, Joe was doing that thing where he spins yarn and shaves off the factual edges and has folksiness that veers into folklore. I'm sorry, that's the journalistic translation of he lied. He likes to lie a lot. And on Friday, he was lying about his uncle Frank. Now, when I hear about an Uncle Frank around Christmas time, I think of Home Alone. I think of Uncle Frank, and I actually pulled a cut in case anyone else thinks of the same cut I do. Can I have cut 12, please, Matt? This is the Uncle Frank I want to hear about.
Look what you did, you little jerk.
That's Uncle Frank to me. But Joe Biden was talking about his Uncle Frank, who he says won a Purple Heart. Now, the New York Post looked into this, and you're not going to believe it, but they couldn't find any corroborating evidence that ever happened. It wasn't in his obituary. Usually you'd include that in someone's obituary. They had no record of Uncle Frank's Purple Heart. And I really thought that Breitbart nailed this headline. It says, Joe Biden recalls conversations with uncle and father at a time when both were dead. Yeah, actually, let's play the clip. This is beyond the fact that it's not true that his uncle had a Purple Heart, received a Purple Heart, won a Purple Heart. The timing of his story doesn't make any sense. So let's play it.
My uncle, Frank Biden, joined. My father was working in the shipyards. The fact of the matter is that, it wasn't a second thought. It just showed up. And as a generation represented by you, Ray, that doesn't look for accolades. You know, my dad, when I got elected vice president, he said, Joey, Uncle Frank fought in the Battle of the Bulge. He was not feeling very well now, not because of the Battle of the Bulge, but he said, and he won the Purple Heart, and he never received it. He never got it. Do you think you could help him get it? We'll surprise him. So he got him the Purple Heart. He had won it in the Battle of the Bulge. And I remember he came over to the house, and I came out, and he said, present it to him. Okay, we had the family there. I said, Uncle Frank, you won this, and I went to pay. He said, I don't want the damn thing. No, I'm serious. He said, I don't want it. I said, what's the matter, Uncle Frank? You earned it. He said, yeah, but the others died. The others died. I lived. I don't want it.
I feel so uncomfortable when he tells these fake stories because it's, you know, people are laughing at the parts they think he wants you to laugh at, and then he gets mad. You know, no, I'm serious. And it's just, I just feel very uncomfortable with all of this. Because the other part of it that I noticed on Friday is when he tells these stories, as outlandish and fake as they are, they're made up stories. You know, whether he's talking about Ambrose Finnegan, his maternal grandfather at Santa Clara, All-American football player, lie. You know, his uncle who was a coal miner, lie. How he was, name anything, lie. But when he tells these stories, what always baffles me is that he's so hell-bent. The whole story's fake, but he gets really, really particular about the fake details. Like, you know, when I was out there and we were in the desert and I was about 100 yards. No, it was 90 yards. Was it 90 yards or 80 yards? None of it matters because it's all made up. So it doesn't matter.
Check them out.
You know what the bonus is, Joe, of making up stories? You can move them along pretty quick because none of it is true. So stop hemming and hawing about, was I wearing a blue shirt or was I wearing a red shirt? I think when I gave the medal to the hero when I was in Iraq, I was wearing a blue shirt, but it might have been a red shirt. Doesn't matter, bro. You got all the details wrong. What's one more? You know, the color of your shirt, how far away you were, that's the last thing you're getting fact-checked on. There's 10 other things before that that people are going to call you out for, maybe, if the press feels like it that day. 844-500-4242. So that was my last suggestion for Joe, was a book on things that really actually happened in the world. I think it'd be a nice change-up for him. There's so much folksiness in his life. But anyway, if you want to check that out, it's bostonherald.com. If you have any suggestions for Christmas presents, I could have kept going. I had more that I was ready to do, but I hit my limit on the amount of words I'm allowed to have. But I'm just feeling like I'm in the Christmas spirit. And so I wanted to give Santa Claus, Saint Nick, a few ideas. Because, of course, I could have just had one sentence, you know, give everyone from the Biden administration coal. That probably would have been more fitting, but not as entertaining of a piece. So bostonherald.com to check that out. Please do. When we come back, another update for you on Twitter, on the FBI, on Elvis Chan and Yoel Roth and all of the people that we've been talking about. Plus, I want to play a cut from Tucker Carlson about Ron DeSantis versus Donald Trump. And the Washington Post, we had reported last week, they're having layoffs and they're very mad about it. The latest headline I'm going to read you from the Washington Post might make you understand the predicament that a lot of these journalists find themselves in a little bit better. We'll talk about all of this and we'll take your calls when we come back. 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. I was just telling people about my latest column where I had some gift ideas. I just thought of another one for Mayor Pete Buttigieg. You know, we've been hearing about how he likes to take private planes, despite the fact that he's a big climate change warrior. And also that he told us at one point that he found airports romantic, apparently not romantic enough to actually use them. And I think a really good gift for him this year would be some Honest Howie's carbon credits to offset some of the damage that he's been doing by flying around on these PJs. And I'm open to other ideas. So, Joe, you're up first on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, hi, Grace. Two things. First, I want to give all the FBI agents and Christopher Wray, except for the whistleblowers, I want to give them 30 days in the hole. And then for all the liberals that are for illegal immigration, I want to give them the take in illegal immigrant families, take them into their home. I'm going to give them 4 dozen eggs a week to help feed those families that they're taking in.
844-500-4242. Definitely agree with you that the FBI deserves some sort of gift. I just don't know what it would be. I don't know if 30 days in the hole is going to work. I think the FBI deserves, I'd have to think about it. I haven't thought of a good one for the FBI yet. They're so corrupt They're just, you know what the FBI deserves as a gift? The FBI deserves to be abolished. That's what the FBI deserves. There you go. There's my Christmas gift to the FBI. It'd be better for Americans. It'd be a gift for them. And that would just be a wonderful thing. 844-500-4242. Let's do today's poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Nauset Beach Inn. Plan your winter getaway now at the Nauset Beach Inn. Ocean view rooms are priced from just $119.99 during the week and $149.99 a night on weekends through March. So book online at nausetbeachinn.com. Matt, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Do you think Elon Musk should step down as Twitter CEO?
No. No, I don't.
Ooh, what made you change?
Well, before I thought we said, do you think he will?
Oh, yeah, you will. Yeah, sorry, I misread it.
The phrasing is important because I think he will, but that doesn't mean I think he should. So, yeah. I do think he will.
57% say no.
I hope he doesn't, but he's kept his word when it comes to following these polls he puts out. And the poll did say, I don't know how much of it was bots, but the poll did say that 57.5% of people thought he should resign. He said he was going to abide by what the poll came out with. One of the callers had tuned in a few segments ago and had asked me to do a little update on the omnibus bill. And so this is the latest I have from the Daily Mail. $1.7 trillion omnibus will include Biden's Ukraine funding request and electoral count reform. So I know you're probably wondering how much for Ukraine. You know, at this point, we've given so much money to Ukraine, and you're not even allowed to ask questions. You're not allowed to ask where the money's going. You're not allowed to ask, when is this war going to end? Is there any plans for a resolution? If you ask any of those things, you, like Tucker Carlson, will be branded a puppet of Putin. So when I tell you the amount of money we'll be sending to Ukraine if this omnibus bill goes through, keep in mind, any critiques you have, any criticisms, any drawbacks, keep them to yourself, because I don't want the FBI to come after you, okay? The omnibus package, expected to amount to $1.7 trillion, will reportedly include up to $37 billion in Ukraine funding. Now, what's amazing about this is that Senator Richard Shelby from Alabama, he's a Republican, and he's vice chairman of the Appropriations Committee. He worked out this deal with Democrats, including Senator Pat Leahy. And the reason that it's important to note that this was Shelby's doing is because Shelby's retiring. So Shelby's walking out the door. And a lot of Republicans, including Byron Donalds and others, are saying that this is a betrayal, that he's selling everybody out, that he's walking out the door and he's letting the spending go through. And I totally agree. Now, keep in mind, as this is happening, you've got House GOP leader Kevin McCarthy, who doesn't have the votes right now. He's got five people, I think, who are determined to kind of blockade his speakership position, his leadership position to be speaker. And I have to say, as much as I'm not pleased with Kevin McCarthy, as much as I don't think he's, you know, the best in the business by any means, I do think that we just got to get him through, because there's too much at stake here. We need these committees to start forming. We need to be ready come January. And all of this kind of internal fighting between Republicans is exactly what Democrats want. So I know Matt Gaetz and a handful of other Republicans are determined to stand in the way of Kevin McCarthy. And I hate to say this, but I think they got to move on from it. I think we got bigger fish to fry. 844-500-4242. We got a lot more to talk about, and we'll take your calls when we come back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for tuning in today. The lines are open. It's 844-500-4242. Reading now from the New York Post, former President Donald Trump should face criminal charges for his actions in connection with last year's Capitol riot, according to the House Select Committee investigating the events of January 6th. That would be the January 6th show trial that wrapped up today. And I guess it's still going on. I'm going to be honest with everybody. shut the TVs off in here. I saw Adam Kissinger. He looked like he was going to cry again. I couldn't take it anymore. I shut it off. I'm realizing I don't have a very high tolerance for this kind of nonsense anymore. And I don't know if it's because, you know what it might be, Matt, is like when you are in the business of cutting things up or, you know, writing columns or whatever it is, you can really skip to things and you can get to the exact part you want and then skip all the rest. And sometimes when I'm watching the TV and they're just playing these committee hearings, the full hearing, like I'm not getting a little tiny sliver of something stupid Liz Cheney said on Twitter. I'm getting the entire thing up there just playing. It makes me go crazy and I have to shut it off. I'd rather have blank TV screens than see all of these phonies grandstanding in what is their last minute out of their 15 minutes of fame. This is it for a lot of these stars. But I just wanted to point out that the New York Post wrote, the bipartisan panel. Come on now. I expected more from the New York Post. The bipartisan panel. This is not a bipartisan panel. It could have been a bipartisan panel, but Nancy Pelosi decided that she was going to get say on what Republicans could be on that panel. And so Kevin McCarthy said, forget it. We're not going to put our Republicans on the panel. And then she decided, no, you know, we'll have Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger on there so that when we get write-ups in the media, they can say it's a bipartisan panel, even though it's not. I would say that you have a better shot at the Democrats on that panel being sympathetic toward Trump than Liz Cheney. Liz Cheney's entire political identity now is, I hate Donald Trump. So to call that panel bipartisan is laughable. But yes, they charged Donald Trump with insurrection, obstruction of an official proceeding, making false statements to investigators, and conspiracy to defraud the U.S. government. So we will see how this works out for the January 6th show trial. 844-500-4242. And just one other thing I wanted to add in here. Remember the mayoral race between Rick Caruso and Karen Bass? This was in Los Angeles. And Rick Caruso spent tons of money. He's like a former Republican. I'm sure he still kind of leans right. But in order to run in LA, you had to, you know, declare yourself a Democrat. And it was really close. And a lot of celebrities came out for Rick Caruso because they're starting to get scared of all the crime that's happening in L.A. Although some celebrities, like Seth Rogen, will tell you that's just the price you pay for living in a big city. But even though he had a real, you know, decent turnout, Caruso was not able to beat Mayor Karen Bass. And I just want to let everybody in L.A. know that you made the right decision. Because if you're worried about crime, if you're worried about the break-ins, if you're worried about the homelessness, Karen Bass seems like a woman who has a lot of solutions. She was on Meet the Press this weekend, and take a listen to her plan when it comes to the homelessness issue that is plaguing LA. This is cut 7, please, Matt.
Are you still going to allow LAPD and sanitation officers to do these sweeps of encampments?
No, these are not sweeps at all. This is getting people to move on their own. But then after the person leaves, sanitation is absolutely going to have to be there. No question about it. But this is not coercing people. This is not ticketing people or incarcerating people. This is moving people from tents to hotels or motels.
Moving people from tents to hotels or motels. I see no reason why this won't work out. I see no reason why this won't be a success. There's nothing about this that screams terrible idea to me. If you guys can think of anything, feel free. But this seems like a real top-notch, well-thought-out, foolproof plan, if I've ever heard one. So I'm sure all the people in LA, I'm sure you're very happy with your decision because you get what you vote for. And you voted, amazingly enough, despite everything that's happening in LA, you voted for Karen Bass. Now, speaking of voting, there's this huge conversation going on about Trump versus DeSantis. There's been polls recently, a USA Today poll, a Wall Street Journal poll that shows that people, conservatives, do seem to be warming up to the idea of DeSantis as opposed to Trump. Now, some people say that's BS. These polls mean nothing. Trump still has the base. And Yeah, I think there's probably a little bit of truth to both. What I would like to play for you, though, is Tucker Carlson, because he was at an event over the weekend, and he was asked about both of those guys who he seems, we know he's friendly with Donald Trump. According to him, he's not as familiar with Ron DeSantis. I know that he does spend a lot of time in Florida, but take a listen to his response. This is cut eight, please, Matt.
With the 2022 Republican primary election happening soon, who do you plan to support, Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis?
Well, who am I going to support? Well, Joshua, as you've noticed, my endorsement means a lot to American voters. I mean, let's be honest. Who cares what I think? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not endorsing anybody. I have no idea what's going to happen in the Republican primary. I spend a lot of time in Florida, and I think Ron DeSantis has done like an unbelievable job. And I mean that. I don't know DeSantis that well, but let me put it this way. People move to Florida because he's the governor. I've lived in a lot of states. You know, I grew up in California. I've lived in D.C., Rhode Island, Arkansas. Like, I've kind of, you know, I've lived in this country for over 50 years. I know it pretty well. And I've never lived in a state where people just, like, unbidden at dinner are like, you know, I'm really, really glad we have our governor. What? You know, like, I've never lived in a place where people knew who the governor was. The governor? Really? Was he here? No, I just love him. But people will literally say that about Ron DeSantis, where I live. It's like, what? So I'm so impressed by that.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's smart of Tucker to basically wait, and that's what I think a lot of people should do. I'm getting the sense when we bring this up on the show that a lot of people already know exactly where they fall. You either want to crown Ron DeSantis as the new savior of the Republican Party, not a good idea, or you want to say that your loyalty lies with Trump, you would never turn on Trump, anyone who turns on Trump is, you know, betraying him, and if other people aren't going to vote for Trump and he doesn't win the nomination, then you're not going to vote at all. Now, there is a middle ground here. The purpose of the primaries is to see where people fall. And Jesse Kelly actually pointed this out because people are tweeting at him saying, you know, Ron DeSantis is so great. And he goes, yeah, I really like Ron DeSantis. He's a good governor. Just like Tucker pointed out, he's a good governor. But we don't know where he stands on a host of issues that you have to address when you're running for president. There's a big difference between being governor and being president. And I am not saying that he is not equipped. I'm not saying that I'm, you know, that there's probably going to be a lot of issues where I think he hits it out of the park, but we got to wait and see. This urge to like jump the gun and decide right now before the first debate is, it's just unwise. You know, you have to see what people are made of. Think of all the people in 2016 who really looked like they were going to be contenders, and then they got up on the debate stage, they went up against Donald Trump, and within a couple hours you knew this person's career, or at least their presidential aspirations, are done. They're shot. There's nothing there. Things can change really, really quickly leading up to 2024. I would really encourage people to keep that in mind. All right, now before we go to break here, this is the latest on the Twitter files. I'm going to read here from Jesse O'Neill from the New York Post. He said, the FBI sprang into action just hours after the Post reached out to Hunter Biden for comment about his scandalous laptop. So not hours after the New York Post published their story on Hunter Biden. The verbiage here is important. They reached out hours after the New York Post contacted Hunter for comment about his laptop. And the FBI warned Twitter and Facebook executives without any evidence that it was a Russian hack and leak operation. Now, I do apologize if I'm beating a dead horse with this, but I need you to keep in mind the amount of failures that have piled up under the watch of the FBI over the last, let's just say, five decades. Nothing. You know, if there's ever a situation where we needed the FBI, they never cease to amaze me as the amount of times they can let us down. The amount of situations, you know, it was known to the FBI, but we didn't really act on it. We got information about Larry Nassar, but we waited a year until we actually filed the report, or we waited a year, whatever it was. They waited. But when it comes to Hunter Biden, they sprang into action. Like Grandpa Joe in Willy Wonka when he found out about the golden ticket. Guy couldn't move for years. Grandson opens a chocolate bar and he's light as a feather. He's dancing around the room. This is the FBI. It all depends on what it is that's motivating them, and they can act pretty damn quick. A day later, Twitter and other social media companies censored the Post article, preventing it from spreading and, more importantly, undermining its credibility in the minds of many Americans. Now, Elvis Chan, he's the FBI special agent, he sent 10 documents to Twitter's then head of site integrity, Yoel Roth, and at least one other person on the night of October 13, 2020. We don't know what these 10 documents are, but I'm very, very intrigued by this. He sent them via a special one-way communications channel. Chan asked Roth and his colleagues to confirm they had received the documents. Approximately 2.5 hours earlier, and this is all from Michael Schellenberger's Twitter thread, Hunter Biden attorney George Messiers had called and emailed Delaware computer repair shop owner John Paul Isaac. It is not clear what was in the documents that Chan emailed to Roth, who played a key role in the suppressing of the Post bombshells. But I just want to remind people of this, okay? Because Roth said in a statement, in a sworn declaration, that the FBI had primed him about the Russian hack and leak operation, and specifically that they had warned him about Hunter Biden being, you know, the target of all of this disinformation. Now, here's the key. Elvis Chan denied that. He had no recollection of specifically warning Yoel Roth about Hunter Biden. To me, that is a crucial part of this because somebody's lying. And I personally think it's Elvis Chan. Could be wrong, but that's my go-to reaction here. So I want to know what was in those 10 documents that Chan asked Roth and his colleagues to confirm they received. And I would love to have some of these FBI agents under oath and figure out why they seem so hell-bent on really dictating to Twitter what's allowed and not allowed to be on the app. Seems to go above and beyond the call of duty as far as the FBI is concerned. I don't know even what their duties are at this point. It seems like a natural progression. It makes sense now why James Baker went from the FBI to Twitter, because they were spending so much of their time talking and worrying and trying to contact Twitter about certain stories. It was a natural leap to say, well, we've been here at the FBI and, you know, we spend all our time on Twitter looking for Russian propaganda and white supremacists. So maybe if we contact Twitter, they can be our nice little retirement job. That's all making sense to me now. 844-500-4242. When we get back, we're going to talk to Howard Lawrence Carr. I don't know if you guys heard. There was a big story this weekend that broke. Cadillac Frank Salemi, someone Howie's written about numerous times, and in several of his books he's mentioned. And it's national news now, and we actually have the expert of all experts who can join us after the break. So don't go anywhere. It's 844-500-4242. It's Monday, and this is The Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. We're talking a lot today about the border. We're talking a lot about Sam Bankman-Fried and the Twitter files. And I wanted to share with you one headline here. You know, you got to get ready, Matt. The racism, because we will be using that sound cut. The Washington Post recently has been going through layoffs, and the World Cup ended yesterday. Argentina beat France, And this was the headline from the Washington Post. You know, this was a real feel-good moment. People were really excited about this. They were partying in the streets all night long about the win for Argentina. And it was, you know, sports has that way of bringing people together. But rest assured, where sports can bring people together, the Washington Post can pull people apart. This was their headline. Why doesn't Argentina have more black players in the World Cup? Argentina is far more diverse than many people realize, but the myth that it is a white nation has persisted. God, they
racism.
The Debbie Downer mentality at the Washington Post, and I'm so perplexed as to why more people aren't reading this publication. I'm curious as to why the Washington Post magazine is going defunct after this Christmas. That is a mystery I will never be able to solve. 844-500-4242. Do we have Howie on the line yet? Waiting on Howie Carr here to talk to us. And I know the story everyone's going to want to hear about from Howie, which would be ex-New England mafia boss Cadillac Frank Salemi dies in prison at 89. Howie Carr joins us now. Howie, we only have about a minute, but I got to tell you, this weekend when Frank Salemi died, I started getting all these angry tweets from people saying, why isn't Howie writing about this? And why do I have to read about it in outlets from New York?
Oh, well, I was too busy watching the Patriots get a bone in their throat.
I thought you were going to say you're too busy getting ready for the January 6th hearings. Can we expect...
No. Yeah, you can. I just got the documents from the federal court about what was in the backseat of his car when he was arrested back in 2011 or thereabouts. You know what was in the backseat?
What?
A copy of Hitman.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to tweet that out this afternoon. I'm going to tweet that picture out.
I think you're going to have to spend a good amount of time today on this, Howie, because
I probably will during the 6 o'clock hour.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
I was thinking about it. You know what I did? I went over. He gave a lengthy statement to the House Oversight Committee in 2003, I think it was. And a lot of the FBI corruption, it didn't start like in 2016, you know. He knew two generations of corrupt FBI agents. He knew Paul Rico and Dennis Condon Dukakis.
Hold on a second. You're telling me that this corruption has been going on for quite some time? I need my fainting couch. I'm shocked here. Howie's got a lot ready for you guys coming up next. You're not going to want to miss this.